Shed Some Light, episode 240, coming to you on a Tuesday. Michael and Jack are back. The Irish are 4-0, and I didn't see a single second of the game against Central Michigan.
Ooh, this will be interesting, then. I get to recap it for you, basically?
Yep. I haven't even watched the highlights.
Oh, okay.
I've seen zero of anything.
Okay.
I was at a wedding. The wedding was fantastic. But yeah, didn't see anything from the game.
Nice. I'm excited, then, to recap it for you. Do you want to just jump right into it then?
Might as well. I mean, you were texting me the whole time, so I got like the verbal updates, and I have an ungodly amount of Twitter notifications set, so like my phone was just blowing up. I think every time I checked it would be like 4 new messages from you and like 27 Twitter notifications.
Sounds about right. Okay, overall, top to bottom, worst game we've played, in my opinion.
And it still wasn't even close.
Yeah. So, and the reason I say that it's the worst game we played was because of the caliber of team we were playing.
Yeah.
Like, you could argue that, like, NC State was technically a closer game, so you could call it that was a worse game. But, like, NC State's way better than Central Michigan.
Right.
So, overall, top to bottom, worst game we played. If I have a couple of good things to say... especially defensive adjustments at halftime were fantastic. I like that we're just throwing the deep ball now. That's cool.
Just grip it and rip it.
Just fucking let it fly. Those would kind of be my two like bright stars. Like Audric Esme is making a sneaky Heisman campaign. He's got, what, 5 or 6 touchdowns through 4 and like 800 yards? Like, he should be up there in the Heisman talk. He's probably the one bright spot would be him in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I'm being extremely critical of them. I know that, like, you know, Sam Hartman had another amazing game, all that type of stuff. But there were just a lot of things that, like, we needed to clean up that, like, again, against a better team, they get exposed for, you know?
Right.
I don't know how to feel about this D-line because eyeball test in the game, I was like, holy shit, we suck. Then you read the stats afterwards and it's like their sack numbers are down on the year compared to last year, but their like quarterback hurries and quarterback hits are up. So it's like you're technically getting to the quarterback more. You're just not sacking them,
which
is a good thing for the most part.
More sacks would be cool.
Sure. But, like, it could just be like, hey, we forced him to throw, you know, an interception or throw that. So, like, it is what it is.
Right.
I never thought I'd say this. I fucking miss J.D. Bertrand. You could, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a, like, managerial type of like, you know, presence of like kind of like the Joe Schmidt, Jalen Smith years. Where it was like Joe Schmidt's calling out the defense, Jalen's making the plays.
Right.
But like there were a lot of times where I was like, damn, we should have made that tackle or damn, that somebody should have been there. And I was like, fuck, I miss J.D. Bertrand.
He is the quarterback of the defense. And when I think of him quarterbacking the defense, I think of Tommy Rees. Really smart guy, not anywhere near athletic enough to. Like
he has surprised me a little bit this year with his athleticism.
Yeah. But he's no like Jalen Smith or any like, big time linebacker.
Yeah. And I would say that I guess is my biggest knock on the defense probably this game. If I had to pick one, it was that we missed so many tackles. Like there were multiple like upwards I would say 10 to 15 probably. Of plays where, like, we hit the dude in the backfield at the line of scrimmage and they still gain 3 to 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that just can't happen.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things where, like, Jalen Snead in particular, and I don't want to, like, single him out, because, like, he was there to make so many plays and just fucking couldn't finish them.
I don't necessarily mind that because of how young he is.
Sure.
Like, should he be making those plays and making the tackles? Obviously. But, like, when that was happening, like, game 2 with DJ Brown, a 6th-year senior, that's when it's like, no, unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither is good, but I'm giving him just a little bit more leash, obviously.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. But, like, it was, like, one of those things where, like, it leaves, like, a bitter taste in your mouth watching him. Because, like, every time, like, if you asked me what my opinion was on Jalen Snead after that game, my opinion was, like, oh, could have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was what I thought about him. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that he was, like, bad in a sense, but it was just, like if he makes not even all of them, 80% of those tackles, I would have been like, dude, he is a stud. That is an insane outside linebacker. Like, we have our, like, our next guy.
Yeah.
So, like, easily could turn that around. Was surprised I didn't see a lot of Drake Bowen. Was a little bit shocked about that and kind of disappointed.
He has way too much talent. His time is definitely going to come. I think that he's just on a slightly slower developmental train than what maybe we were hoping for.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, Central Michigan was definitely a game that, like, I think he would have thrived in. And obviously, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes at practice, but, like, I don't give a fuck about him redshirting, dude. If you're good, you're good, and you're going to play. Especially with the way that the transfer portal is nowadays, like, yeah. If we don't play him, he's gonna fucking leave. I don't think he is, but, like, he can. I guarantee you, there's hundreds of other teams that would take him in a second.
Right.
So I was a little bit disappointed with them, with not seeing him. I don't know who to be disappointed with. I guess just disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I was like, fuck. I was really hoping that he was gonna have a good game today. Corners. Kind of did what corners did. Like, they didn't really throw the ball that much. The refs, dude, were god-awful. The fucking ACC needs to figure it the fuck out, because these dudes were ass. Like, up, dude. Okay, so there are three instances that I want to point out that were just, like, comically funny. Okay? First one, Central Michigan throws a pass. You can look it up on Twitter. I saw some guy tweet still shots of it. To the sideline, there is a ref no more than 5 to 8 feet away from this.
Okay.
Guy dives for the pass towards the sideline, hits the ground. You can legitimately see there's a still frame of the guy on the ground and the ball next to him, right? And then he grabs the ball at the end of it, and the ref was like, yup, catch. He's like, what? What are we doing? It was like, that guy's standing right fucking there. I was like, how the fuck was that a catch? It got overruled, thank God. But I was like, literally, they showed it on the Jumbotron. Everyone was like, what was that? Like, how did they call that a catch? There was, I think it was like 3rd and 8 or something for us. We ran like an out route with somebody who just got like, you know when you were a kid and you, like, jumped over your friend and you, like, put your hands on their shoulders? Like, that's – yeah, that's what the defensive back did. And they threw a flag and then picked it up, and they were like, there's no pass interference.
Classic.
And I was like, fucking – they showed it, and everybody was like, what are we doing here? Like, that's clearly – and then a couple plays later, Central Michigan's going down the field. They throw, like, a fade route in the end zone, and this dude legitimately trips over his own feet. Fucking penalty. I was like, hello? And then the third one, I swear to God, I've never seen this before. We had a double review. I've never fucking seen
it before.
Hold on.
Did they review the play two times, or did they review the review of the play?
They reviewed the play twice.
So the play happened,
mm-hmm.
And then did it go under review, or did someone challenge it?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we ran the ball on 3rd down.
Okay.
Audric Estime was clearly short.
Okay.
They gave him a 1st down on the field.
Okay.
They then said the previous play is under review.
Nice.
Went to the review. Came back out. Call on the field stands. No. 1st down.
Oh, 1st down.
They called it a 1st down.
Okay.
Something then happened. I don't know what. And they didn't say anything and then just went to the review again. And then came back out and said, call's overturned, he was short. I was like, what in fucking God's green earth is happening on this field right now?
I would love it if you could challenge a challenge.
No.
The call on the field is a first down, and then Central Michigan challenges it, and they're like, nope, it's short. And then Marcus is like, nope, check it again.
Check it one more time. I swear to God, I've never seen it before. Like, they came out onto the field. The head ref made the announcement. Call stands.
Mm-hmm.
Not confirmed, call stands. We waited for like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and then he just ran right back over to the video thing and put the headset back on. I was like, what are we doing?
That's pretty funny.
I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, those refs were god awful.
The officiating this upcoming week against Ohio State better be spot on, or I'm going to be pissed.
Well, I don't know who I'm going to want at this point, because those guys were ACC refs, and they fucking stunk.
I don't want Big Ten
refs. I don't want Big Ten refs, but the fucking ACC refs are ass.
I don't know. Before we jump into...
I hope the only hope that I have is that, like, if it's an ACC ref, it's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
Like, listen, ACC refs, I know you don't like us, but... Fuck Ohio State.
Yes.
More than you hate us,
right,
you know?
Right. Before we jump ahead, though, I do have a couple things that I still want to touch on looking back. Notre Dame did score 41 points. So, funny stat for everyone listening. The last time that Notre Dame scored 40 or more points in their first four games of the season, 1900. And you know who they played in 1900? For their first four games, two high schools, a local club football team, and then Cincinnati.
Nice. Nice. Tough schedule to open up there.
So,
join a conference, 1900 Notre Dame.
What are you doing?
Stick it.
So putting up 40 on actual college teams is pretty impressive.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I think Marcus Freeman knew that.
You think?
100%. Because he... Again, it was like 35-17, which, again, still isn't a, you know, very large lead for Notre Dame in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say that there's kind of two mentalities under this, and I love both of them. Either A, Marcus Freeman knew that and wanted to get 40, or B, he just wants to shit stomp every team, which I love,
again. Either way, I'm fine.
I'm fine with. Because, like... There was, like, 6 minutes left, like, easy just, like, run out the clock type of thing, and he still had Audric and Sam Hartman in there just being like, fuck it, we're marching down the field. Yep. And I was like, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
I'm okay.
As you mentioned, too, it wasn't necessarily Sam Hartman's greatest game. I've got a stat line pulled up here. 16 completions on 26 attempts, 330 yards through the air, 61.5% completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah. I mean, I do love, like I said, the start of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, third play in, we just off go route to Tobias. Good to see him finally get involved. Like, that was sweet.
Yeah.
Next possession, you throw the go route to Tyree.
So,
I'm in.
Just keep in mind those stats that I just read off to you. Rewind back a couple episodes when we talked about it looked like Notre Dame hasn't tried at the quarterback position for 10 years until we got Sam Hartman.
This is rough. I know exactly what you're going to say, and this is... tough, and we can get into talking about the rest of college football after this.
So Tyler Buchner, Phil Jakovic, and Drew Pine combined stats from Saturday: 18 of 47, 38.2 completion percentage, 156 passing yards total between all three of them, 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Ooh.
What happened?
Yikes.
We, like, that was...
Marcus Freeman got 9 wins with a couple of those guys.
Quarterback recruiting?
We could talk about quarterback recruiting in a little bit, though. Yeah, dude, I don't know. Fucking Alabama looks like dog shit.
They're on their third quarterback. And back to Jalen Milroe.
Dude, it's a disaster there.
It went Jalen Milroe, then it went Tyler Buchner, then it went Ty Simpson, and now they're back to Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, this is a...
I think Nick Saban, like I said a couple episodes ago, is on the verge of retirement. He's thrown in the towel.
Is this also a bad look for us being Tommy Reese guys?
Why?
I mean, Tommy Reese can't fucking score at Alabama.
I mean,
dude, they put up 17 points against USF.
It was 3-3 in the fourth quarter.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a bad look. For being Tommy Rees guys, hand up, bad look.
Ooh, J.D. Bertrand confirmed will back. Play.
Yeah. You know what it is? He just doesn't, he doesn't have the passion. It's not his alma mater.
Yeah.
Or he has so much passion for his alma mater that he is purposely tanking Alabama.
End of a dynasty.
Shout out to Tommy Rees, baby. Legend.
So, looking ahead, well, do we want to talk looking ahead to Ohio State or the rest of college football?
Let's talk the rest of college football first.
Okay.
However, I would like to run it back quick to Notre Dame because I told you this, and I want to make this a public service announcement. I was sitting at the game over the weekend. First of all, I was sitting behind...
I wasn't
going
to bring this up until we talked looking ahead.
No, I want to bring this up now. I guess I understand why you're talking looking ahead. We can look ahead after I say this.
Okay.
I was sitting behind the handicap section.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people in front of me in wheelchairs.
What seats were you in?
No. We got other tickets.
Oh.
I was on like the like 50-yard line, like right above the gold seats.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like the low section. So first of all, there are people that are sitting in front of me that are in wheelchairs, and the wheelchairs are higher than the bench that I'm sitting on. So my view is already obstructed.
Right.
A lady two rows behind us asked us in the first quarter of the game if we could not stand up because she has her kid with her and she wants him to see the game. And so I want to say this in the most polite way that I possibly can. Fuck off.
Those people,
don't tell me to sit down at a football game. Fuck right off.
Those people are exactly what's wrong with Notre Dame Stadium and the atmosphere. I mean, granted, it's Central Michigan, but I swear to God, if anyone says that this upcoming weekend against Ohio State,
I'm punching them in the face.
You don't deserve to have tickets to a Notre Dame game the rest of your life.
And I want it also to be known, they were on an aisle. Fucking tell the kid to step in the aisle. Like, find a better view. I'm not fucking... put the kid on the bench. I'm fine with that. The person behind that kid can still see. You're good. And also, like, I'm not talking like a child, like a 5-year-old. I'm talking like this kid was in like third grade.
You're also not like I'm just assuming this because I've been to hundreds of football games with you. You're not like in the student section where you're standing the whole time. You're standing at opportune times to stand.
We stood up for Tobias Merriweather's catch.
Yeah.
And that's what she told us to sit down for. Which was like I said, the third play of the game. And it was a 75-yard touchdown, and we got yelled at for standing up. Politely, fuck off. Don't tell me to sit down.
I swear to God, if there are people like that at the game this Saturday against Ohio State, it is a night game. It's a top-10 matchup. It's a green out. College game day is going to be there. Everyone in the stadium, everyone around the stadium has permission to get as rowdy as they possibly can.
100%.
Under control, of course. Don't be going like getting crazy belligerent. But under control rowdiness is highly encouraged. If anyone tells you to sit down, remind them that this is a football game and not church.
Remind them that they can suck it.
That just boils my blood. I can't stand
it. Dude, it was so funny. So we were sitting 2-2, like me and somebody else in front, and then two people that we know behind us. And the lady sets it to the two people behind us. And like the two people behind us handled it, shout out to them, varied well. They're like, oh, yeah, for sure. And I was like, what'd they say? And they told me what they said, and I was like, oh. And I stewed on it for like three plays. And then I was like, is nobody going to say how fucking ridiculous that is? That's insane.
I need a witty comeback for that. Like how can I politely say, no, this is a football game. I'm allowed to stand. Because that comes off a little bit harsh. And I want it to come off, like, to get my point across. But to also be like, you're seriously asking me to sit down at a football game? But I got to spend some time crafting up a response. I'll have a good one by Saturday.
I got it if you just, if they say like, hey, like, they have to use the phrase, do you mind?
I do mind.
I just say I do. Like, when they're like, hey, do you mind, like, you know, like, sitting down? I have somebody behind me. And you just turn around and just go, I do. And then if they're like, what? Just be like, I do mind. I do mind. This is a football game. This is not, you know, church.
As I mentioned, you know, game day is coming. There are going to be green LED wristbands on the seats for the entire stadium, which I think is kind of cool. Tough comparison for me, but it's Taylor Swift-esque.
Don't care.
I think it's going to be sweet.
This is one where I'm probably a massive hypocrite for this, because I said it last time with when we had the pom-poms against Clemson, and I have been very vocal about the fact that I fucking hate when I see pom-poms at like SEC games, and then I saw it at Notre Dame, and I was like, okay, kind of sick.
Yeah, pom-poms are cool. Towels would be cool. The LED wristbands are going to be sweet, because I have a feeling that they're going to be coordinated.
Oh, they're going to do a light show for sure.
Yeah, yeah. As I've been saying for years now, the one thing Notre Dame is missing, can we please get fireworks off the press box?
I'm down for that. Can we also be elite? Can we also not get like a shitty remix of whatever song we do the fucking light show to?
Yeah, I mean, like, can we just like brand all of the lights as like our song?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it should be all the lights. I don't like when we did Mo Bamba. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, no. All of the lights.
When I like the song Mo Bamba. Don't get me wrong. I just don't want to do. I don't want that to be the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, do you want to talk about a little recruiting, a little quarterback? Real quick.
Dude, I have. Yeah. We got the Deuce himself.
Deuce Knight. So, was it just me, or was that a very interesting time to commit?
I feel like, I mean, he's the number three quarterback in the class. Granted, he's a 2025 kid, so I'm literally not going to, like, believe that he's actually coming to Notre Dame until he is on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so far out, and there's so many different variables now that go into recruiting. I don't necessarily think it was an interesting time to commit, because I feel like he's been a pretty heavy Notre Dame lean for a while.
Okay, but the reason I say it was an interesting commit was because Bear Brockmeyer was on campus this past weekend, and Deuce Knight is coming for the Ohio State game.
You just wanted to say, hey,
well, so
this is my class, baby.
So what I think happened was, and I'm, again, just putting things out there, I think that Bear probably told the coaching staff that he was ready to commit, and the coaching staff was like, well, hold on.
Deuce.
Hey, buddy, Deuce. Bear's about to commit. We'll take you over him, but you got to commit, like, today.
Those are two just elite names as well.
Yeah. Well, so, can I be honest with you? Bear Brockmeyer sounds like a 1940s pitcher. Bear Brockmeyer takes the mound here. 3-2, and the pitch. Like, Deuce Knight is, like, a nice. I'm a big. My only knock on Deuce is that he's a lefty, and for some reason I don't trust lefty quarterbacks.
Yeah, ball spins differently. The wide receiver's got to get used to catching it. I am excited for, like, the classic Deuce chance. Like, that'll be good. I don't know.
Also, if he is as good as advertised, I can't wait to see him, like, shitbag USC and do the, like, the Deuce down. He's like, hey, man, that's my name. Yeah. I'm just throwing up a two real quick. That's all I'm doing. And just to do that, suck it, you fucks. But, yeah, I mean, I wanted Deuce Knight. I like Bear Brockmeyer. His grandfather was, like, a diehard Notre Dame fan. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, I like the Deuce.
Speaking of USC real quick, did you hear that, according to Caleb Williams' dad, he would stay in school another year if the team that's projected to get the number one overall pick isn't where he wants to go?
It makes complete sense with how NIL is fucked this place. Dude, right now, before Joe Burrow signed his mega deal, right? So when he was on his rookie contract, Archie Manning, the backup at Texas, was making more per year than him. Why the fuck wouldn't he stay in school?
But also, everyone's like goal or dream as a kid is I want to play in the NFL.
And sure.
It's just like, nope.
But I also feel like it was like I want to play in the NFL because I want to make money. Like, there's now not a separation between college and NFL.
Yeah.
And like, if I'm Caleb Williams and I'm like, listen, I can make, you know, $5 million a year in the NFL and I got to go up against the fucking best talent of the best talent, or I can make like $7 to $8 million a year and shitbag some random team in college every weekend, I'm like, I'm picking staying in college. So I wouldn't doubt that at all. I think it's stupid that that's a thing. But talking to the rest of the...
rest of college football?
Dude, everybody stinks. That's my takeaway. That's my takeaway from this weekend. Everybody fucking stinks.
It's a wild year. There everybody hasn't really been like a dominant team.
Stinks.
I'm somewhat surprised that Notre Dame is still sitting at 9.
I think it's one of those ones where like you can't knock a team for winning.
Yeah.
But like Florida State beats BC by 2. Georgia did not look good against South Carolina.
No.
Tennessee got fucking shitbagged by Florida.
I think like a more accurate ranking for Notre Dame would be like 7.
I was going to say 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But then I think the only reason that Florida State is so high was because they beat LSU.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Like if they have that to balance out the shitty game versus Boston College. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if they don't beat LSU at the beginning of the season, or even if they don't beat them handily at the beginning of the season, I think they drop lower than 2 by a mile.
Yeah, definitely.
Colorado State, storm in the field, 20-point dogs, 20-point favorites, double overtime.
Travis Hunter.
Dude, okay.
Hurt. Did you see that the kid that hurt him on Colorado State?
He's getting, like, death threats?
Yeah.
Dude. First of all, this was going to be my take. Colorado fans need to chill the fuck out.
Well, duh.
I get it. I will not deny. Dirty hit, late hit. Agree. Probably wasn't even the dirtiest hit I saw that week. Did he hit him after the play was dead? For sure. Does that happen all the time in college football? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to, like, I don't want it to come out like I'm condoning it or, like, making it, like, a good thing. But, like, people are acting like number 11 on Colorado State, like, stabbed Travis Hunter in the neck.
Right.
It's like, dude, calm down, man. Like, just fucking relax. And then Shadur Sanders poked that dude in the eye. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did.
That was wild. Captain Insano shows no mercy. You know what I'm saying? Shabow! Yeah, dude, Colorado, I hope they get shitbagged by Oregon State. Or Oregon.
There's quite the slate of college football coming up.
Yeah, dude, it's sick. This weekend is insane.
I'm not going to watch any of it besides one game.
Yeah, same.
And it's going to be great.
I'll catch it at a tailgate or two.
Maybe. Well, actually, yeah, I'll see all the noon kickoffs.
Yeah, I'll see the noon games. I'll see the 3 o'clock games, most of the 3 o'clock games.
Whose tailgate are you going to that has a TV?
I got people.
I gotta know these people.
You know these people.
Anything,
it's the tailgate to be at.
Anything else college football wise?
Not that I know of.
Again, let's go crazy for Ohio State.
Yeah. Just
please.
Begging you.
Oh, real quick. Who do you think is going to be the guest picker on College Game Day?
Okay, so there's a difference between who I want and who I think.
Let's hear both of them. You know who I think would be just...
Okay, can I run down a list and I want to see if I hit one of yours?
I don't think you will, but
so
yeah.
I got like a 5 to 6 list.
Okay.
I'll tell you who I don't want, mm-hmm. respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually mean this. I know I said earlier, I was like, hey, politely, I want to tell these people to fuck off. I genuinely mean this respectfully. I don't want Lou Holtz.
Oh, yeah, no.
Respectfully.
Yeah, great guy, but not
my guy.
Game day picker.
People I want. Manti Te'o.
Okay, I could see that. That'd be good. I need someone bigger.
Miles Teller. Big Notre Dame fan.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good one.
Yep. obviously, because he's here, we're going to see him Friday, Shane Gillis. But they would not allow him on ESPN.
No.
No shot. No. 0% chance. Tom Zbikowski. Fire me up. Just not fucking big enough. Run me through a brick wall. But for me, it is.
Yeah. Miles Teller. That's a good one.
Yeah, Miles Teller.
You still haven't picked who Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of left field, if you brought in Taylor Swift as your guest picker.
We ain't losing that game. No Ohio way. State, you are fucked if we bring in Taylor Swift. If Taylor Swift is there in Notre Dame gear, Ohio State, see ya the fuck later.
You know who was the Ohio State Notre Dame College Game Day picker last year? Jack Harlow. So you can easily one-up him going Taylor Swift.
I would take a Miles Teller.
Miles Teller would be sweet, too.
I would even take a Vince Vaughn. Big Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
I would take a...
Too bad Regis Philbin's not alive.
Yeah, I would take a Martin Short. Saw him already, but yeah. I'll take him.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we did see him just a couple weeks ago, so that like kind of loses its luster for us, but for the general public. Yeah. I don't know. It's got to be someone that just gets the crowd going.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Shane Gillis would, but like, no, there is a 0% chance that ESPN is like, we'll take the risk of putting Shane Gillis on this this interview.
I hope that Pat McAfee, like, plays into the Notre Dame crowd.
Well, did you hear when they interviewed Sam Hartman before the game?
He's a big Sam Hartman
fan. He loves Sam Hartman. I like it when he was just, like, warming up, and he was like, boy, you're a good-looking dude. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Right, right. So, we'll see. It's going to be a fun Saturday. Moving on to the NFL, speaking of Pat McAfee, the Colts win.
Why are we bringing up the Colts? Because fuck
the Bears
you.
Stink.
Yeah, but Bears fucking so dude, I might have to like actually fight you about this.
Dude, what they've been a miserable franchise since I've been alive.
Guess what? You can't abandon ship.
I've had enough of this nonsense.
Dude, so have I. But I can't fully put my heart in another team. And you know, guess what? I'll fucking make you walk the plank. I'll kick you off, and then when the Bears eventually get good, I'm gonna be like, no, you're banned, you're on the ban list.
I might be in a retirement community by the time the Bears get
listen good
again.
You're if the Bears get good, you are I'm give me one more week and I will deem you banned from being a Bears fan. This is what we do. We fucking have cold winters and our sports teams suck.
I mean, is it too much to ask for something that's good?
No, it's not. But guess what? Game's the game.
And it's not like the Colts are any good either, but at least they have one win.
All right, we're fucking 2 weeks in.
I'm just saying, dude. 0-2, and when this was supposed to be a somewhat like a wild card-ish type of year.
We could still go 14-2. Fucking have a little bit of hope. I'm here. I'm fucking every Sunday. I'm staking my Bears flag down, and I'm leaving with my head hanging low. Because they constantly disappoint me.
I saw a 3-minute TikTok compilation of this guy going around asking people what it's like to be a Bears fan, and it was just disappointment, regret, anger, suffering, like the list just went on and on. I was like, agreed, agreed, agreed. Why do I do this?
Listen, I know the Jets have a win, but at least we're not Jets fans. Because they were like Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
And they fucking immediately kicked in the nuts.
Yep.
At least we're not Jets fans.
I guess that's one way of looking at it.
I also saw, but it was on YouTube. It was hot. I'm gonna give you a guess here. It was highlight. The caption of this was highlights from every Nick Saban loss in Alabama. How long do you think this video was?
Like 6 minutes.
No. Okay. Like it was like a legitimate. Like if you took like the Fox highlights and then just put them all together. So you know how like if you looked up right now like Notre Dame Central Michigan highlights.
Oh.
And then
like
they
the
just
extended version, like the 20-minuter?
Not the 20-minuter, like the short one. So it shows both teams.
Okay.
But it's just like every like scoring play, basically. That's what they did. They basically clipped every scoring play from both sides from every Nick Saban loss.
So my guess was too low.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just like the end of the game. It was like there were full highlights from that game.
I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah, 30 minutes. He's been coaching at Alabama for fucking a decade and a half.
Yeah.
And he has the only amount of losses, it was 30 minutes.
That's slightly shorter than this episode.
Dude, you could make a 30-minute video on one season from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. I was like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
I was expecting it to be like every Nick Saban loss. Hour 45. 31 minutes. I was like, Jesus Christ. I wish I had that. With Freeman.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
And the White Sox continue to stink.
The White Sox are dead to me this year.
There's
nothing to talk about.
Hold on, let me pull this back up. Yep, we have surpassed a month since the last time that I watched a Sox game.
Yeah, there's legitimately nothing to talk about.
It has been 33 days since I've watched baseball.
They're just bad. They're just really, really bad.
Although I went out on top because the last game I watched was the Sox beating the Cubs.
Amen.
So, die a happy man, I guess.
Somewhat happy man.
It's not right, buddy. Dutton's crying about how bad the Chicago sports teams are, too. I know, buddy. It's a tough life out here. Anything else you got?
I have one dumb thought.
Me too.
Okay. If you are referring to your parents in a conversation,
yeah,
how are you referring to them?
My parents.
You would say my mom.
Yeah.
My dad.
Yeah.
So, like, say, give me a sentence of you and dad going to a White Sox game the other day. How would you say that to somebody else that's not related to you?
My dad and I went to the Sox game.
Thank you. Okay. You know what I have noticed a lot recently that I cannot stand?
What are people saying here?
They drop the my. They just go, dad and I went to the White Sox game.
No.
It's not my dad. Like, you have to say, you have to own your parents.
Unless you share a dad with the person that you're talking to.
Thank you.
If you and I were having a conversation, I could say, yes, dad and I went to the White Sox game.
No. I'm talking about, like, random people.
Yeah, no.
Being like, mom and I did this, dad and I did this. Like, that's not my mom. That's not my dad either. So, like, stop saying it like it is our parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's my blank. My something.
Who's saying this?
A good amount of people. Like, enough for me to be like, what the fuck is happening?
They are the same people that put their dishes knife side up in the dishwasher.
They are indeed.
Oh, come on. What are you doing? I knew you could tell a lot about how a person puts their silverware in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
That's just...
It's wild.
That's confirming my beliefs.
It's wild. To be fair... The person that you are thinking of is not the only person. I've heard it from, like, multiple people.
I figured, yeah.
Enough for me to be like, because, like, one person saying it's like, yeah, it is what it is. Two people are like, all right, what the fuck is, stop that. Three more, I've been like, this is ridiculous. Why do we keep saying this?
I don't know if I forget if I mentioned it on a podcast, but I had a lot of people reach out to me about their...
Dishwasher. Yeah, dude, fuck right off.
A lot of people.
Are we on the good side or the bad side?
Most of the people were in agreement. I would say it was probably like 75-25 to maybe 80-20 of people putting everything down.
Yeah.
The proper way.
Correct.
My one dumb thought, I randomly like have the urge to just place a bet that's like my monthly rent.
Yeah, don't we all?
Just like, I just kind of want to feel what that feels like.
I'm too stupid to like actually place it though.
I definitely never would. I don't think. But like that, it just feels like that would be so exhilarating.
It'd be electric.
Like, just imagine if the bet goes in my favor, I'm winning a ton of money, and if it loses, I may not have a place to live next month. That is some just adrenaline pumping.
I think you need to find like the happy medium.
Yeah.
Like, cause you go like 0 to 100 pretty quick.
Not really.
Yeah, you do with bets. Like, you're having the thought right now, like, I want to place my monthly mortgage, and then the other end of that spectrum is, like, what you normally bet, and it's like, dude, like, if you lose that, it's like, oh, who cares?
Well, that's why that's the amount that I bet. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about, like, what is the typical amount that you bet, and this is, like, a pretty well-known or, like, somewhat popular podcast, and the guy said $5 to $10 a bet, and I was like, my man.
Nah. I won't listen to you if you bet anything less than, like, if I'm taking, like, betting advice, it's got to be, like, at least, at the very least, 3 digits.
I've never in my life placed a 3-digit bet.
Yeah, you probably never will.
I'm thinking about just placing a 4-digit.
I'm just fucking laying it down.
I don't know. Maybe I'll, I don't know.
You're never going to do it. I guarantee you won't. Unless it was like, the thing is, like, you would do it, but it would be like Notre Dame money line versus Tennessee State. It's like, no fucking shit, dude.
I almost took Notre Dame money line against Central Michigan at -10,000.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like, no fucking shit, we're gonna win that game. Like, you'd bet like, it would be like, place your monthly rent to make like your monthly rent plus $2, and you'd be like, dude, I'm fucking living on this bet, dude. Like, no, you're not.
There's already lines for this upcoming week. Have you seen what Notre Dame is against Ohio State?
No. I'm guessing we're like even money. I would even say we're like +3.
I was going to say +2. That was my guess. Because we'll get 3 for being at home, and I would assume that they would put them as like a 5 or so point favorite.
Mm-hmm. Which is bullshit because they stink.
Let me do a quick check here.
Also, like, Ohio State fans are acting like we have never played Marvin Harrison Jr. before. We did. Last year.
+3.5, +150 on the money line. Let's see.
Place the house.
Let me just do responsibly. A quick check. What?
I said place the house responsibly, of course.
Oh my gosh, dude. If I placed my rent on the money line,
I'd make more than my rent.
I would have like a couple months rent coming back.
That's how betting works. That's how it works.
Whoo, doggy, that's something.
I might place a reasonable size wager.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. We'll see.
Not my rent.
No, I'm not doing that. Although it sounds cool.
Maybe my car payment.
I don't know if I'm willing to get that high. Alrighty, well, that is where we're wrapping up Shed Some Light, episode 240. Thank you all for listening. Go Irish. Wear green.
Fuck you, Ohio State.
And we'll catch you after the game.
Keep them cold. Keep them wicked cold.